Welcome to Bible Answers Live, where you'll get honest answers to your Bible questions. Let's face it, it's not always easy to understand everything you read in the Bible. With 66 books and more than 700,000 words, the Bible can generate a lot of questions. If you'd like answers to your Bible questions, you've come to the right place. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor, President and Speaker of Amazing Facts.
Welcome, listening friends. Would you like to hear an amazing fact? We've all heard the expression before that dog is man's best friend. But in the ocean, a man's best friend is probably the dolphin. Maritime history is filled with stories of dolphins helping drowning sailors, rescuing people from sharks, or guiding vessels through treacherous waters. In 2004, a group of swimmers were suddenly stalked by a 10-foot great white shark off the northern coast of New Zealand. Suddenly, a pod of dolphins herded them together, circling the swimmers for 40 minutes until the large predator was driven away. In another case, in the Red Sea, 12 divers were lost for over 13 hours, and they were surrounded by dolphins for the entire time that were repelling the many sharks that live in the area there. When a rescue boat finally came near the area, the dolphin pods showed them where the stranded divers were by leaping into the air and jumping towards the swimmers, leading the boat onward. Likewise, in the year 2000, it was a group of dolphins that led fishermen to discover 6-year-old Elian Gonzalez floating in an inner tube out in the Atlantic Ocean after his boat carrying Cuban refugees sank. You know, the Bible says that God has often used animals to rescue his people. Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
You're listening to Bible Answers Live. Honest answers to your Bible questions. Our phone lines are now open. If you have a Bible-related question, call us at 1-800-GOD-SAYS. That's 1-800-463-7297. Now, let's join our host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcome, listening friends, to Bible Answers Live. And this is a live international interactive Bible study. We'd invite you to call in with your Bible questions. We have several lines open right now. That number, if you want to call the studio, 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. One more time, if you want to call with a Bible question, it's 800-463-7297. And I am Doug Batchelor. Our regular co-host, Pastor John Ross, is probably in the air somewhere flying back from New Zealand right now. But we're glad that we have our associate pastor, Marshall McKenzie, sitting in the co-pilot seat. Evening, Marshall.
Good evening, Pastor Doug.
We're going to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get to our questions. Father in heaven, we just want to commit this time to you. Pray that through the Spirit and even your angels, you take charge of the calls that come in, and that you'll guide through your word the answers that are given. And so please bless the Lord for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, Pastor Doug, I was just amazed as you read and shared that story with us, that amazing fact about dolphins and God's providence in leading those dolphins.
That's right. And, you know, there's several more stories that I could share. I've lived around the water for several years of my life, and I've heard just some amazing stories about dolphins, boys that were drowning, even a dog that was drowning. A dolphin was once found nudging it back to the surface and helping it ashore. And they seem to be one of the many animals that God has wired with some sort of compassion or altruism and empathy. And, you know, in the Bible, you can find a couple of cases where God used animals to save people. But one story that pops into my mind is in 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah had to flee out into the wilderness during a time of famine. And it says that the word of the Lord told him to go stay by the brook Cherish, which flows into the Jordan. And ravens brought him bread and food in the morning and bread and food in the evening, and he drank from the brook. God used these ravens. And it is true that, you know, ravens are very smart animals. Mm-hmm. They can live, I think, up to 25 years.
Incredible.
Yeah. And, of course, there's a story in the Bible where God even spared the life of Balaam because the donkey did not walk into a path of destruction. So he was saved by a donkey. But it's incredible when you study the intelligence that God even has in his creatures. Here in California, I saw a documentary about there's a gorilla that's over 40 years old now, named Coco, that's been basically taught to talk with sign language. And I forget, it knows like over 1,000 words, but it talks in sentences and sign languages and the gorilla.
Incredible.
So just imagine how different it will be in heaven and the earth made new communicating.
You know, my children talk about that all the time. What it's going to be like with the animals, what we're going to be able to do with the animals. They love the animals.
Yeah, I think there'll be a whole level of communication that maybe Adam and Eve had in the garden that we've lost somewhat now. But, you know, maybe you'd like to know more about this God that made the world and the wonders that he has in creation. Amazing Facts would like to offer you a free gift tonight. It's a book called Amazing Wonders of Creation. It's even got a dolphin on the cover. A beautiful book that will inspire you, and it is free. We only ask that when you read it, share it with someone. Here's the number for the free resource. That's 800-835-6747 for that book that talks about the wonders of creation, 800-835-6747. Now, if you have a Bible question, I see two lines still open. Good chance you'll get your question on tonight's program. That number is 800-463-7297, 800-463-7297. If no one picks up right away, it's just because our callers are answering other calls, and be patient, they'll get to your call. All right, are we ready to head towards the phones?
We're ready. Our first call actually is from Aaron and Carmichael. Aaron, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to Romans 7, or excuse me, 8:17.
Okay.
Sorry, which refers to us being joint heirs with Christ, and what does that actually mean?
Well, in the same way that Jesus inherited eternal life, the Bible tells us, you know, when he rose from the dead, we're going to rise if we die before he comes. Of course, those that are alive and remain when the Lord comes will just be transformed. Christ had a glorified body. We will have glorified bodies. And Jesus told the apostles that we're going to live and reign with him in the kingdom. You also find that in Revelation chapter 20. And so we inherit. The word joint heirs, an heir is someone who inherits something. We inherit, because of Christ's sacrifice, eternal life and a place in his kingdom.
You know, it just reminds me of the verse in Revelation where we will sit with him on his throne.
That's
in Revelation chapter 3.
That's another good point. That's right. So does that kind of answer what you're wondering, Aaron?
Well, yeah, because I've had some people tell me that literally means we're going to be like him in almost every aspect, and they use this as a verse to justify that. And I said, I don't think that quite, they were trying to make it almost seem like it meant more.
Like we're going to be God or something, or gods.
Well, like a God under a God or something like that, yeah.
No, we'll just be really his ambassadors in the kingdom, and we'll be able to go through limitless space and just, you know, bear witness to God's goodness and his salvation. But there's only one God, and but we're going to be able to reign with him in that we're going to have a special place. God is moving the capital of his universe to this world when the new Jerusalem comes down. That's in Revelation 21, so what a privilege.
Uh-huh.
That help?
Okay.
Hey, we do have a lesson we'll be happy to share with you for free, and it talks about God's city in space. It talks about the redeemed and the new earth. And you know what I think you'd really enjoy? Actually, we have a book called Heaven, Is It Real? And it's in that book, Heaven, Is It Real? Here's the number for the free offer, 800-835-6747. Also, Aaron, you can even go to the Amazing Facts website, and I think that is one of our books you can download for free. It's called Heaven, Is It Real? Just go to amazingfacts.org. It's easy to remember, Amazing Facts. Now, it's not F-A-X. Some people have said, I couldn't get the website. It's F-A-C-T-S. AmazingFacts.org. God bless. Appreciate your call. And let's see who's next in line.
Yes, our next caller, Pastor Doug, is Pat from Las Vegas, Nevada. Pat, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hi, Pastor Doug. How are you this evening?
Doing good. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you bet. What I'm calling about, Pastor Doug, is John 20, verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And I know that Catholicism, the priest, have the confession, and they do that. And I just got the impression from the reading that Christ was passing that on for not necessarily just Catholic priests, but passing that on for Christians to some way or another get blessed in order to do that. It doesn't seem to me that he's saying just for those, the apostles right there. Now, that's why, that's my question, I guess. What is it, how do, where does it start and stop? Is it just solely for them? And then once that they, the ones he issued that proclamation to, they die, that it's ended?
You know, there's a couple of ways I've heard this explained. First thing, let's address what it does not mean. God does not give people the right to choose who is forgiven and saved. That would be pretty frightening if mortals were deciding who is going to be forgiven and who is not and who's going to be saved. The way I've heard it explained...
Isn't Jesus saying that?
Well, let me tell you what I do think it means, and I think that'll help a little. Whenever we share the gospel, in sharing the gospel, we're sharing the forgiveness of God. When we do this, they're forgiven. Now, you notice when this verse appears, it appears right after it says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I'm going to give you the Spirit to be my witnesses. And then the Holy Spirit's poured out and they start preaching. The purpose for the Holy Spirit is to share the gospel. Christ said, in sharing the gospel, you will be sharing eternal forgiveness. So that's one way it's understood. The other way I've heard it understood is the apostles were also given through the Spirit authority in the church about who would be received into the church. And sometimes people were disciplined and put out of the church. That doesn't mean they're deciding whose sins are forgiven, but they're deciding, they did have the right to decide who was going to be in the church and out of the church because of their behavior. Sometimes after a person accepted the Lord, like this guy Simon, he started to try to sell salvation. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about a man living with his stepmother, and that person should be put out of the church, the son, rather. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard it understood that way also. But I don't think he's saying you get to decide who is forgiven, who's not, because no mortal should really have that right. And the Bible's pretty clear. God and God only can forgive sin. That's in Mark chapter 2. So I appreciate your call. And let me just think, if there's a book that specifically deals with that subject that we could offer about forgiveness. You know, I've got a sermon. If you go to the Amazing Facts website, I've got a sermon there that you can download, and it's called 70 times 7. If you just type in Doug Batchelor, 70 times 7, it might even pop up on YouTube. We've been surprised how many people are kind enough to repost our sermons on YouTube. Hey, thank you for your call, Pat. I appreciate it.
Pastor Doug, our next call is from John in New Jersey. John, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug Batchelor. Your question.
Hello, thank you very much. I was listening to your program last Sunday night, and a woman called in. She was suffering from anxiety and depression. And I have a question, but I was so moved by her call, and I couldn't get through last week. I hope she's listening. There's a lot of scriptures about afflictions and consolation when we have afflictions, and I found a whole four pages of scripture from Genesis through Revelation about that in a topical Bible that's been around. It's a big reference topical Bible where the topics are listed alphabetically. Your screener said don't mention any names, so am I not allowed to mention the name of the book?
That'd be fine. Go ahead. You got to want to reference that for somebody?
Yeah, it's called Naves, like Navy, but with an E at the end. N-A-V-E, Naves Topical Bible. And it was written in 1898. And if you look in that book under afflictions, and within afflictions under consolation, in there are many scriptures in there that have helped me. It's been like a balm, healing balm for my soul. And the Word of God is living and working powerfully, so it really can heal and change you.
No, that's a good reference. As a matter of fact, the Naves Topical Bible comments are in many Bibles, and you can even mention, I'll mention it, I guess, is that people can go online, and Naves is public domain, meaning that you'll
find it
for free online. Yes. Anybody can read it. I use it when I do a topical concordance sometimes.
Yeah.
I appreciate your sharing that, and there are a lot of people out there that struggle with a variety of challenges, and they love to find these Bible promises that would give them encouragement. And so I appreciate your sharing that, John. By the way, we do have a book that talks about the secret weapon and understanding the power of the Bible. It's called The Ultimate Resource, and we'll send you a free copy of that, John, just for being so helpful. It's called The Ultimate Resource. Just call our resource number, 800-835-6747. By the way, if some of you just want prayer, you know, we're talking about people that might be struggling with challenges, we do have chaplains standing by at that number, 800-835-6747. They'll be happy to pray with you. Thank you, John.
Our next question is from Jim in Bedford, Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Thank you, Pastor Doug. So we've been having this discussion in our church regarding the Holy Spirit. And some are saying that we have the Holy Spirit from birth, that the Holy Spirit is with us and in us. Others then say regarding events like the Pentecost, that we don't receive the Holy Spirit until we receive Jesus into our life. I was wondering if you could speak to that and maybe clear that up a little bit.
That's a very good and a very important question. I'm glad you asked it. It's a misunderstanding for someone to say just because you're born, you automatically have the Holy Spirit. There are a couple of rare individuals, like John the Baptist, where it says he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's birth. The reason it's mentioned is because that is not the norm. Typically, when a person receives Christ, a verse for that is Acts chapter 2. Peter says, repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say you have it. He said you'll receive it. Jesus, yes. Even at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came down, and that's in Matthew chapter 3. And so now the Holy Spirit can also come in different degrees. A person receiving the gift of the Spirit, it can come gently like a wind, Jesus says in John chapter 3. Sometimes you get baptized or totally filled with the Holy Spirit, as David did when he was anointed king, and as at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and they were, you know, suddenly preaching in other languages. So being baptized in the Spirit is different from just the power of God's Spirit that may be moving in a person's life that helps us resist temptation, helps us listen to the voice of God and be his witnesses. And that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, I will give you my Spirit and you will be my witnesses. So the Spirit does come when we come to Jesus. Now, the Spirit works in our life even before we accept Christ, but it's the Spirit bringing conviction. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will even convict you of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us to repent of our sins so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit when we surrender to the Lord. It's kind of like a marriage. You know, you don't just marry someone the day you meet them. There's a courtship. And baptism is like the marriage, and then you get the special gifts of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's working in your life and dating you before that. It's kind of convicting and comforting and helping you know God is real before you even make the final surrender. And when you turn to the Lord, you're giving him permission to fill you with his Spirit. Great question. And so I'm sorry, Jim, did that answer what you're asking?
Well, so what you're agreeing with is that the Holy Spirit is in the world all the time, in the world and around us.
Well, yeah, when God created the world, it says the Spirit moved on the face of the water. So you've got the Spirit is certainly in the world. But the Spirit is working in the lost to convict them of their sin. You know, back in the days of Noah, if you look in just Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God said, my Spirit will not always strive with man. In other words, there's going to be a limit to my Spirit trying to lead you to turn from your sin. And when Noah got done preaching and building the ark, the Holy Spirit was withdrawn and that whole world perished except for Noah and his family. So God works with us if we reject the Spirit. Even Ephesians chapter 2 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working to bring us to God, but if we keep resisting, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is the unpardonable sin. Hey, we do have a free book we can give you, Jim, and it's called Life in the Spirit. You'll really enjoy that. Life in the Spirit. Just call 800-835-6747. We'll send you a free copy of Life in the Spirit, or you can read it online for free at amazingfacts.org. And that does free up another phone line. If you have a Bible question, here's that number, 800-463-7297. We'll bring your questions into headquarters here. 800-463-7297. And Okay, Pastor Marshall, who's next?
We've got Lewis from Detroit, Michigan. Lewis, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hello?
Hi, you're on, Lewis, and your question today.
Yeah, I want to know, what is the difference from being possessed by demons and taking the mark of the beast?
Well, everybody that takes the mark of the beast probably is possessed. Because when you have the seal of God, you have the spirit of God. And when you have the mark of the beast, you've got the spirit of the enemy. And the most fearful curses in the Bible are proclaimed on those who receive the mark of the beast. It says the wrath of God's indignation will be poured on them without measure. And it tells us the seven last plagues in Revelation fall upon those who worship the beast. And so if someone worships the beast, they probably got the spirit of the devil. Now, whether they're going to act like they are possessed with a legion of demons, I don't know, but they're definitely lost. There are people out there that are very wicked that know how to act in a civilized way, so they can fool people. The devil's a shrewd operator. But yeah, those who have the mark of the beast are lost. But let's talk about the seal of God. And if a person wants to be saved, they want the seal of God. We have a lesson. We can send you a free copy of a lesson that talks about the seal of God. And it's actually in the lesson called, What is the Mark of the Beast?
Right.
Is that right?
That's right.
And so Pastor Marshall is in charge of the Amazing Facts publishing department. So I know he'll give me the answers on all our publications. If you want a free copy of the book on the Mark of the Beast and the seal of God, just call Amazing Facts. Go to that resource line. It's open now. 800-835-6747. If you want to understand that subject, 800-835-6747. We'll send it to you for free. Thank you for your call, Lewis. And that opens another line. Again, the number to the studio is 800-463-7297.
Okay. Next question from Alex in New Mexico. Alex, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug Batchelor. Alex?
Pastor Doug.
Oh, there you go.
My name's Alex. Nice to listen to you tonight, and I wanted to say God bless you for bringing this program to life.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask a question. Is it possible for man today to, I think there was a scripture in the Bible where it said many wise men and prophets wish they knew what you know and never knew it.
Yes.
And there was another one in Proverbs 123. In Proverbs 123. Do you have it there?
Well, I can look up Proverbs 123 real quick.
Yes.
And
yes.
And did you already get that, Marshall?
I do. It says, turn at my, is this, I just want to make sure, Alex, this is the one. Turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you.
Yes, his words known to us. And these things have come to me in different ways, like the word listen, there's L for listen, and then there's IS, and then 10, you know, listen, there is 10. Ten Commandments, I believe that's what it's trying to tell me. Things like this. This is just one thing that's
What's the question?
And the question is, the Spirit can give you messages in the night that you want to tell people in the daytime?
Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit, and many times in the Bible, God gave visions and messages to prophets and some of his, even kings. And they'd be messages that they would share during the day. Sometimes it might be through a dream. It might be through a prophecy, a vision. And, you know, that doesn't happen very often with average people. God periodically will raise up a prophet where, you know, he gives them kind of special revelations and messages. And, of course, he did that with the apostles, too. Sometimes he gives us dreams, and it's just for us personally. He might have some personal guidance that he gives us in a dream, and the Lord still does that with people today. There's a verse in, Joel chapter 2. He says, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And so, yeah, it does happen. Let's see, Pastor Marshall, can we get one more call before our break? Thank you, Alex. Appreciate your question.
We can. Ronald from San Bernardino, California. Ronald, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
In Matthew 12, verse 31, it states that whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Does that mean that you're going to go to hell? You can't be forgiven at all?
Well, someone who grieves away the Holy Spirit is, it's the Spirit of God that leads us to repentance. And in that verse, and I'll read it for everybody, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, men. But blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. So if a person is unforgiven, they're lost, if they're unforgiven by God. So, and then he goes on to say, to anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Well, that's pretty definitive. And so everyone wants to know, what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Because it is the unforgivable sin. I always like to remind people, don't forget the good part. Christ says all manner of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. God forgives all kinds of sin. He's forgiven in the Bible murder and adultery and even different kinds of blasphemy. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is perpetually resisting the work and the voice of the Holy Spirit, so that we resist repenting, we resist the conviction. And this is what Judas did, and he ended up hanging himself. This is what Balaam did, and he was killed. And this is what King Saul did. He fell on his own sword. And so when we grieve away the Holy Spirit, we're just, like with King Saul, he got into trouble, and it says God would not speak to him, either through dream or vision or priest or prophet. And I think it's, I forget the verse, but it's in Proverbs where it says, if we turn away our ear from hearing the law, even our prayer is an abomination. So resisting hearing God can get to the point where it's the unpardonable sin. Now, I got a book on that I'll send you for free, Ronald. Would you like that?
Yeah, sure.
It's the title's scary. It's called Beyond Mercy, but it's actually an encouraging book. If you just call the number, 800-835-6747, tell them you're listening to Bible Answers Live and that we've just offered you the book Beyond Mercy. We'll send you a free copy of that. It talks about, what does it mean? What is the sin against the Holy Spirit? And it's also an encouraging book. It tells you about all that God does and to forgive us. Hey, friends, we are going to simply catch our breath and take a brief break and have some station identifications. But we got more Bible questions coming. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Bible Answers Live will return in a moment.
Life's a curious thing. I mean, just when things seem under control, wham, you're hit with something new. Your marriage is good. Suddenly it's on the brink of divorce. The job's great. And then it's gone. And so's your life savings. You feel healthy. Then your doctor gives the bad news. What's coming next? You could look to the stars, but they don't have the answers. But this does. The Prophecy Study Bible by Amazing Facts. This Bible's special. Its 27 personal study guides lead you on a life-changing journey through God's Word to discover real answers to life's questions, from health and relationships to family and the future. The hope's in here.
Get your Amazing Facts Prophecy Study Bible today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com.
Can't get enough Amazing Facts Bible Study? You don't have to wait until next week to enjoy more truth-filled programming. Visit the Amazing Facts Media Library at aftv.org. At aftv.org, you can enjoy video and audio presentations as well as printed material all free of charge, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right from your computer or mobile device. Visit aftv.org.
Every Bible question you have answered moves you one step closer to the fullness of God's will for your life. So what are you waiting for? Get the answers you need for a fuller, richer, more confident life. You're listening to Bible Answers Live. This broadcast is a previously recorded episode. If you'd like answers to your Bible-related questions on the air, please call us next Sunday between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Pacific Time. To receive any of the Bible resources mentioned in this evening's program, call 800-835-6747. Once again, that's 800-835-6747. Now, let's join Pastor Doug Batchelor for more Bible Answers Live.
We are back on the air, and this is Bible Answers Live. And for those that may have joined along the way, it is a live international interactive Bible study. And if you have a question, as we mentioned, we've got some lines open still. I see, three, four lines open. So give us a call. Here's the number, 800-463-7297. If you have a Bible question, 800-463-7297. We got some friendly operators that'll just jot down what your question is and where you're calling from, and we'll take your call. My name is Doug Batchelor, and I'm joined today by Pastor Marshall McKenzie, who is an associate at our church in Granite Bay, as well as the publishing director at Amazing Facts. Pastor Ross is en route, returning from a speaking engagement in New Zealand, where they talk just a little funny. But we're going to go back to our phones, and who's next?
Sean from Danville, Illinois. Sean, you're on the air with Bible Answer Live and Pastor Doug.
Hello.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's a blessing and a privilege to speak with you, Pastor Batchelor.
Likewise.
Missed Pastor Ross, but we definitely thank the Lord for his replacement this evening.
Sure.
My question is, I was confronted with something about the investigative judgment.
Yeah.
Someone who had been, what is there any Bible foundation for that?
Yeah, that's a big word, but it's really a simple principle. Is the judgment really is broken up into three phases. You've got some judgment takes place before Jesus even comes, and I think people know that intuitively, because when the Lord comes, he's giving rewards. The dead in Christ rise. That means it's been determined they are in Christ. And it says the wicked flee from his presence. So people are getting saved or lost when Jesus comes. You read in Peter, where is that verse?
First Peter 4:17.
Yeah, why don't you read that to us? You got it handy?
Yeah, it says, for this time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
Yeah, so there is a judgment that starts before Christ even comes. And Jesus even said the Holy Spirit is coming to the world for judgment. So the first phase of judgment, called the investigative judgment, sometimes it's called the pre-advent judgment. In other words, a judgment that takes place before Christ comes. When Jesus comes, he's separating the wheat from the chaff, so something's happened already. Then you've got a judgment during the 1,000 years where the righteous are involved. And that's where Paul says, do you not know that you'll judge angels? And we're agreeing with God's judgments, basically. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to see some people there, and we're going to think, how'd they get here? We're going to see some people missing, and we're going to think, why aren't they here? And God is going to let us look at the books and see that there's a reason why. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? He gets to heaven, and Stephen is there. No, I say it backwards. Stephen gets to heaven, Paul is there. And the last time that Stephen saw Paul or Saul, he was stoning Christians. And Stephen's wondering, what is he doing here? Well, the angels will show him the books and say he was converted in a dramatic way. So there's that judgment. And then the final executive judgment is the white throne judgment, when God rains fire down upon the wicked. Everyone is punished according to what they deserve. They're cast in the lake of fire. And that's really like the third phase of the judgment. So the investigative judgment is a judgment there where Christ is our high priest. He's in heaven right now. And you read about it. Let me give you another verse. You read about it in Daniel chapter 7. Oh, is it verse where it says this one like the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days.
Right around 13, 14.
Yeah, verses
right
13 and 14.
Daniel.
Hey, we'll send you a lesson on that. Would you like a free lesson that talks about God sets a date for the judgment?
Yes.
Yeah, we've got a whole lesson that covers all the scriptures. It'll be really good. We'll send you a free copy, Sean. All you've got to do is call this number, 800-835-6747. I don't think you can read the lesson for free online at Kenny.
He should be able to.
Oh, but he has to go to, like, Bible Universe.
Universe,
there's
correct.
Another website. You can correct. Read that for free at BibleUniverse.com. And otherwise, we'll send you a copy, 800-835-6747. Tell the operators, and God Sets a Date for the Judgment is the name of the lesson. Hey, thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate your patience. And I want to remind our callers that be listening. Sometimes while you're waiting, you mute your call, and we're saying hello, hello, and you can't hear us or we can't hear you. Anyway, who's next?
Philip from Glen Falls, New York. Philip, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug.
God bless you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks, Philip. And your question?
I would like some clarification on a verse out of the book of Luke, chapter 9. And it's verse 27. It says, "But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." This is also cross-referenced in Matthew 16:18
and Mark 9. But yes.
Yes. What does that mean?
The answer to that passage in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, after Jesus makes this cryptic statement, "Some of you here will not taste death till you see the kingdom of God come," it says something happened. 6 days later, in Luke, I think it says about 8 days later, but in Matthew and Mark, it says 6 days later. The difference is Luke says about 8 days later because he's interviewing people getting the story. He takes them up on a mountain. Moses and Elijah appear. Jesus is glorified as he will be during the second coming. God the Father speaks. You got the glory of the Father. You got the angels around Jesus. You got Moses. Moses died, but he's resurrected. He represents those who come with Jesus that have been resurrected. And Elijah never died. He is simply translated to heaven. Some will be alive and remain when Christ comes. What those disciples experienced after Jesus makes this statement, Peter, James, and John, is a miniature picture of the second coming.
I see.
So
I see.
Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration.
About the Mount of Transfiguration.
That's the fulfillment of his prophecy. When he says, "Some of you standing here will not taste of death till you see the kingdom of God." In other words, I'm going to give you a window, a little picture into the second coming, and then it's fulfilled in the next verses.
And I was just thinking, in 2 Peter, Peter talks about this experience.
Yeah.
Actually gives his own testimony of it.
He said he'll never forget it when
That's right.
he hears it. Oh, you know what? You just reminded me. We have a book on that. We'll send you a free book exactly on that verse if you'd like, Philip. It's called The Two Witnesses.
Yep.
And if you call Amazing Facts, we'll send you a copy. It's an easy read, and it's a, if I say so myself, I wrote it. It's a great story. 800-835-6747. It's called The Two Witnesses. I think you can read it for free online. Just so people know, we're not out there just to make money. We give a lot of this away. And if you want to read it online for free, just go to Amazing Facts. You'll see a button that says our free library, amazingfacts.org. If you type in amazingfacts.com, you'll still get there. Okay, thank you, Philip. And your next caller?
Is Scott. Scott, you're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You're on the air with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you doing tonight?
Better than we deserve. Thank you for your call.
Well, thank you very much. I have a question about gifts of the Holy Spirit. A church I just left said that the gifts of the Spirit left as soon as the apostles of Jesus Christ died. I cannot find that anywhere in Scripture, so my question is then, who can receive the Holy Spirit's gifts?
Well, I would respectfully disagree with anybody that says that the gifts of the Spirit died with the apostles. The reason
yes.
they come up with that is because sometimes you don't find some of the same dramatic manifestation of the gifts in modern times, and so they say, well, we don't want to say God's lost his power, so we'll just say those gifts all stopped back in the days of the apostles. But that's not true.
You've heard this before then.
Yeah, all the gifts of the Spirit, I believe, are still available. Let me give you an example. You read in Joel chapter 2, and it says, "It'll come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy." I just read this a minute ago. So the gift of prophecy is there. The dreams and visions, Jesus said, "You'll speak with other tongues." I believe in the gift of tongues. I don't believe the gift of tongues the way it's being used by some churches. You know, with every gift, it's often abused, and there are false prophets and there are true prophets. There's false tongues and there's true tongues. And Jesus said in the last days there'd be false prophets. Why did he say don't believe in any prophets? Because there will also be true prophets. And so the idea that the gifts have stopped, Paul says, you know, Paul, he's converted after all. He's the last of the apostles. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the spiritual gifts. And it would seem, why would he go to all that trouble to outline what the purpose of the gifts is and then say, now this is only going to last until we all die? He doesn't say that.
I was just going to add to what you're saying. Peter also in Acts, when he quotes Joel chapter 2, says this is just a partial fulfillment.
That's
so
right.
In the last days, you're going to see this all over again.
Yeah. The apostles received the Holy Spirit in like a former reign power. In the last days, before the second coming, the church will receive the Spirit of God in a latter reign power. But God's power is still there. I mean, you know, I just came back from New Guinea last week where they still see all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders. And I've even heard of, you know, children being resurrected when missionaries prayed, and just some amazing stories. So God's power is still there. And if we had more faith, we'd see more examples. But we're living in a very faithless, secular time.
Indeed. Indeed we are.
Yes. Hey, I do have a book I can send you that talks about one. I got one on the Holy Spirit, and then I've got one specifically on tongues, which is a gift of the Spirit that is much disputed. And I believe in the gift of tongues, but I believe people are confused about it sometimes. And go ahead, what were you saying?
This place did say is that, well, they didn't believe in tongues because, well, that's the easiest one to fake. Well, yes, but doesn't mean it's not happening.
Well, people fake prophecy all the time. I hear people get up and they even call themselves prophets on TV and they make all kinds of crazy predictions. And some have predicted the second coming on numerous occasions. Obviously, they were false prophets. So, you can fake any gift of the Spirit, but that doesn't mean you discount the real thing. Because one of the gifts of the Spirit is preaching. And we still love preachers. You know, one of the gifts of the Spirit is administration. And we still have administration. So the other gifts of the Spirit are still here. Hey, thank you, Scott. If you like that book on fruits of the Spirit, we'll be happy to send you a copy of that. I think it's called Life in the Spirit. And just call 800-835-6747. And the book on tongues, you can read that. Just go to amazingfacts.org. Type up the, if anyone does a search, Doug Batchelor, Understanding Tongues. I think you can read the book right there on the internet. Appreciate your call.
Next question is from Bill in New Jersey. Bill, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug.
Hi, Pastor. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Hopefully a quick and easy question. Just recently, I watched a documentary where something that I've been referring to for over 30 years, they discounted 1 John 5:7. I always use that for proof of the Trinity, and I'm just curious. What they said was that it was something that was added in later after the books were written. Do you have any information on that?
Well, it is true that when you look at the old manuscripts of the New Testament, and they got different names for some of them. You got the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus and the Textus Receptus, or the received text, that some of the oldest manuscripts don't have that line in there. And so they argue that it was added. Because they say, well, if it's the oldest manuscript, then it must have been added in the newer ones. But that's not true. Some of the newer manuscripts, and even the newer manuscripts are 1,000 years old, some of the newer manuscripts were copied from even older manuscripts, meaning that they may be more accurate. So, and there are a few verses in the end of Mark that are missing. Well, the reason they're missing is because basically it was the end of the book and just got worn off or cut off. But I believe that verse is valid. But you know what? Our theology, whether that verse is there or not, the theology about the Trinity is pretty clear in the Bible. You can find, I wrote a book on it, and there's just all kinds of support in the Bible for the three persons of the Godhead. All the way back in Genesis, where God says, let us make man in our image. And Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at the baptism of Christ, you got the voice of the Father. You've got the Holy Spirit coming like a dove. You got Jesus, the Son, in the water. And so, yeah, there, you know, I believe there are three that bear witness in heaven. I think that was in the original when John wrote it, and it maybe was missing from a later manuscript. It's more likely, when they wrote these things by hand, it's more likely that scribes would skip a line. I've often been typing things and copying things, and I missed a whole line, than that they would manufacture a line. So I think that just the old manuscript they're looking at, it was forgotten as the scribes were copying these things. They didn't have Xerox machines. They didn't have email back then. It was all manually done, and sometimes you had human error.
Yeah. It just shook me really badly at first because it's been like 35 years now. I've always been referring to that particular passage and going back to the beginning of John to show that Christ is the Word and the Word is God, you know.
Oh, John, yeah. Well, Jesus is the Word. It's in several places in the Gospel of John and in the Bible.
Right.
So, yeah, don't fret. You've got a good foundation. You know what? If you're ever in doubt, believe too much of the Bible before you start believing too little of it. If you're going to make a mistake, make the mistake of believing it's all the inspired Word of God. Don't start questioning this verse and that verse, because then your foundation, like one grain of sand at a time, it begins to crumble in the storm. And I find when people start saying, well, this verse doesn't mean that, and that verse isn't there, pretty soon they got a pretty shaky foundation.
And you know, but to be honest with you, Pastor, that's the conclusion I came to myself. I've always believed that it was the inspired Word of God, so if that's the case, then obviously man who meant that doctrine must have been wrong. Thank you.
Yep. Hey, absolutely, and we do have a book that I think you'll enjoy called The Ultimate Resource, and it talks about the Word of God and its dependability. We'll send you a free copy of The Ultimate Resource. Just ask for it, 800-835-6747. And I think we still got a couple lines open. 800-463-7297 will bring you into the studio. 800-463-7297 with your Bible questions. And let's see who's next online.
We've got William from Denver, Colorado. William, thank you for your patience. You're on Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I've got the easiest answer for you over the night.
Okay.
Okay, a couple of weeks ago, I had the great privilege of spending about 3 hours with four gentlemen arguing different aspects of the Bible.
Okay.
And, of course, we didn't agree on a whole lot of it, but it was a good discussion. The biggest thing that I had to struggle with is one of the gentlemen said there is no way the Bible can be 100% accurate when it was written by man, and man has been given the free will to do whatever he wants, and because we know that there are writings similar to the Bible by the same authors that have been not included, how can we know that the Bible as it sits is the Bible in total and is accurate without error or inerrant?
All right, good question. And by the way, the gift I just offered our previous—
I told you it'd be easy.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it's easy, but it's a good question. The gift I offered on our previous caller is just addressing this specifically, and that's, we'll send you the book called The Ultimate Resource. It's about the Bible. But now let me get to your question. I think you're always safer believing when God says in the Bible, thy word is truth, and every word of God is pure. And you look in the Bible, it says all scripture was given by inspiration of God. God has supernaturally preserved this book. It's not like the Quran. It's not like the Bhagavad-gita or any other supposed sacred writing. The Bible has really stood the test of time. And I've been to Israel. I've been to the museum where the Dead Sea Scrolls are. I stood next to a Jewish scholar who was, we were looking at the Isaiah scroll together. He could read ancient Hebrew, and I asked him, I pointed to a spot on the scroll. I said, can you read that to me? And he's reading now a copy of the Bible that's 2,000 years old, over 2,000 years old. And and I know my Bible pretty well, and he started reading the part of Isaiah where Hezekiah is surrounded by the Assyrians and Sennacherib was mocking and the Rabshakeh was threatening God. And it's exactly like my Bible today, and it's 2,000 years. And I just got chills because I thought, wow, here we are 2,000 years later, and God has done something supernatural to preserve this word. If it was just written by men, then you're right, we would have messed it up. But these were the words of God, and God was very particular to make sure when people were copying the Bible that they just put the most careful attention into detail to make sure that they were carefully reproduced. And so as okay. I told our previous caller, and then the other thing was the assembly of the books of the Bible that we have now. Why does it seem like some books are left out? That's a right. kind of a popular myth. The books, by the time the Apostle John died, the books that are now included in our New Testament, of course, before Jesus lived, they already had the books of the Old Testament, so there was no question about that. But by the time that John died, the books that we now have in our New Testament were recognized by the church as inspired. There were several councils and discussions about should they add another one or not. To play it safe, they left certain ones out. But that doesn't mean that what we have is not 100% inspired. There were some books that they thought were dubious or doubtful, or maybe they should not be included in the sacred canon. But the ones that were included, they were extremely careful for. And let me give you an example of how they made those decisions. Peter refers to the writings of Paul as Scripture. Jude refers to Peter as Scripture. There's a cross-pollination that happens throughout the New Testament where they validate one another, and they were very careful that it all was in harmony and that there was no contradiction between the authors in the New Testament. And they referenced one another. And so the books that we've got in our Bible today are as sacred as anything you're ever going to find. And I'm not saying that there might not be a scribal error or that translators haven't made mistakes. That's different from right. the actual Bible being inspired. Because human, I can take a Bible and mess it up if I want to. Anyone can try to mess it up. But right. the originals that we have, it's an inspired message from God. Hey, I'm going to try and get another caller. William, can I send you that free book called The Ultimate Resource?
That would be great. Thanks.
All right, just call that number, 800-835-6747. Appreciate it.
Our next question is from Chris in Chico. Chris, you're on Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug.
Well, hi, Pastor Doug. Good evening.
Evening.
My question is, I was talking with a friend of mine, and their religion says that the when we repent of the sins that are not blotted out until the great day of the final award. And I'm arguing that in the Bible, in Colossians, in several places, as soon as you repent of your sins, they're forgiven and gone forever, never to come up again.
Yeah, I think that confuses people. I'm in the middle. Let me. I know that sounds like I'm running for public office. But what I mean by that is it is true as soon as we come to the Lord and we repent of our sins, he takes our sins, he casts them into the depths of the sea, he forgives us. But the final dealing with our sins doesn't happen until the great judgment day. And ultimately, a lot of sin is the devil, anybody who is not forgiven by the blood of Christ, they pay for their own sins, right? Or let's suppose right. somebody comes to the Lord and they say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. He says, you're forgiven. But then they won't forgive their neighbor. Their forgiveness is withdrawn. And that's right. Jesus' own words. He says in Matthew 18 that if after the king forgives this servant that was in debt, he says, when you failed to forgive your fellow servant, I'm now going to make you pay for everything because you did not share my forgiveness with others. And Jesus right. says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So if believers refuse to pass on the forgiveness of God, and if we turn from our sins, as you know, Peter says, a dog returns to, then you know our forgiveness can be invalidated by God if we don't
right.
trust him. But that's all that right, I think is meant by that.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, I'm a spirit-filled believer, and you know, I forgive anybody, you know, that, you know, sins against me is not a problem at all because I know God forgave me. And then I look at Hebrews 10:17, which says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And I think no more, there's not too much gray area. You know, they're gone as soon as you confess them.
That's true. Yeah, he does. He forgives you. In other words, you should walk before God with a clear conscience that he's forgiven your sins.
Right.
Now, after
right.
you've become a Christian and you love
right.
the Lord, you may still sin and need to repent again. As
right.
a matter of fact, you can count on that.
It's a daily occurrence.
Yeah, Bible says we stumble in many things. And so
right,
we frequently
exactly.
have to come and repent and right. get a refreshing, so to speak. So
right.
I think we're on the same page as far as that's concerned.
Right. Okay.
Hey, I thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate your question. Very good one.
Next, we have Eddie from Fairfax, Virginia. Eddie, you're on the line with Bible Answers Live and Pastor Doug.
Eddie, we got 2 minutes. Can we do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm studying with another Bible leader regarding the health laws, and he uses Mark 7:19 as the end-all, be-all verse where Jesus said that at the end of verse 19, Jesus said, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean.
Now, you're reading from the New International Version, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you look in other versions, it doesn't say that. They took great liberty with that verse. The way it reads in the original, and if you look in the King James Version, it says, in saying, not even in the King James, it says, thus purging all meats. And Christ said that what you put into your mouth does not defile you. And he's talking about it's not food that defiles your soul. And he says, because when you eat something, if you've eaten something with unwashed hands, is what Jesus is talking about, it just goes through your system and it's eliminated. It's very different from what they did with the NIV version. They tried to make Jesus say that he made some declaration that all food is now clean. Problem is, if you go to Acts chapter 10, Peter says, not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything common and unclean. And Peter makes that statement 3.5 years after Jesus has gone to heaven. So they never got the idea from Jesus that he declared all foods clean. And so you don't find that there. Hey, we do have a lesson on clean and unclean foods. It's called God's Free Health Plan. We'll send you a free copy if you'd like, Eddie. You can hear the background music. And if you simply go to our call, 800-835-6747. Ask for God's Free Health Plan. Listening friends, I hope you've been blessed by Bible Answers Live this week. If you have, let us know. Go to amazingfacts.org. Contact us and help us stay on the air. We sure appreciate it. Talk next week.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. We hope you understand your Bible even better than before. Bible Answers Live is produced by Amazing Facts, a faith-based ministry located in Sacramento, California. Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning, and he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a Savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in All the Bible, a new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. For thousands of years, man has worshiped God on the seventh day of the week. Now, each week, millions of people worship on the first day. What happened? Why did God create a day of rest? Does it really matter what day we worship? Who is behind this great shift? Discover the truth behind God's law and how it was changed. Visit SabbathTruth.com. If you'd like to enhance your study of God's Word, visit our website at www.amazingfacts.org and sign up for our free Bible study course. And make sure to check out our online bookstore at afbookstore.com, which offers thousands of inspiring books, DVDs, and more to help you get the most out of God's Word. To take advantage of the offers you've heard on this broadcast, call us at 800-835-6747 or visit our website at amazingfacts.org. Did you enjoy this program? Make sure to tell your family and friends. Tune in next time for more Bible Answers Live. Honest and accurate answers to your Bible questions.